Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about, firstly, talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have Clement Akron with me in the studio, and Clem is going to talk to us about being a pastor. I've known Clem for quite a number of years, actually, because Clem actually worked in my business delivering training to young people, and he was highly effective at it and actually brought quite a spiritual aspect to the business. I do remember on one occasion where we were in the boardroom and we were trying to resolve an issue, and he actually suggested that we say a prayer, which was very unusual for those of us around the boardroom who had not really done that before as part of a business meeting. And we did do that, and he led the prayer, and it just gave us all a significant amount of clarity and peace. And needless to say, the issue that we were working on was beautifully resolved. But it really struck me then that Clem had this spiritual side, and that, you know, he had an ability to utilize it within a business framework. And after working for us, as I say, very effectively, he left to pursue this more spiritual aspect. And Clem is here today to tell us a bit more about that. Clem, thanks so much for joining us. And if you could start just by defining for us, what is a pastor?
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me, Angela. A pastor's role is more of a community-based role. So it's someone within the community that works with people within the community. So, and these people will be mostly people that attend the local church or friends or family, and it involves things like counseling, celebrating birthdays, weddings, christening. So we do life with people. So the good times, the bad times, bereavements, we're
there. It's like it is a leader of a church in the same way as is a priest or a vicar or a leader of any type of church, of any type of religion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you could tell us about your journey, just give us a rundown from when you were at school through to where you are now.
A large part of my education was done in Africa, so I came over here to get into my A-levels, but I ended up in the college. So I did an HNC at the time in business at Lewisham College, which is in Southeast London. And after completing that, I went into work. But initially, on a voluntary basis, I applied to a lot of organizations. They kept telling me, "Yo, you have no experience." And again, I could understand because I'd just come over from Africa, Nigeria in particular. But also, when I was back home, I never worked. I just relied on my parents for everything.
Yes.
So that in itself meant I had to gain experience. And I was lucky enough to get a voluntary placement at an organization known as the South London Family Housing Association in Crystal Palace.
Okay. And just tell us a little bit about how you were then when you came over from Africa and, you know, went to this college in South London. I mean, how confident were you about that? That must have been quite a radical change for you.
It wasn't really radical as such, because I grew up, my dad is an engineer, and he worked in multinational firms. So he had colleagues that were from England, India, America. And we grew up with, you know, their children. And we called them aunts and uncles. So for me, there was I didn't really see race or anything.
So you were very comfortable integrating with different types of people, etc.
It was easy for me. I felt at home.
And how academic were you?
Very academic, but lazy.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was I'm one of those people that pick things up really quickly, but never do the hard work. And I would just do the least to scale through.
Yeah.
You know.
And were you particularly religious at this point?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came to the faith through my older sister, who was already what's known as a born-again Christian. In other words, people that decide to commit to the faith and not just being a Christian by birth. And so I came with that faith, and I was involved in the local church, very active in the local church, so helping out with admin roles, marketing and stuff like that to a very large extent. Yeah.
But obviously this was a voluntary role, and so you needed to sort of find a means of sort of paying bills and things.
Absolutely.
Hence, you started your career and you joined, as you said, the South London Housing Association.
Yes.
What were you doing there?
So I was a purchase ledger clerk. So I was processing payments on their database system. And it was an interesting role. It gave me an opportunity to pick up admin skills, to utilize IT skills, and also to interact with people. I had a mentor there, and she was really helpful at the time.
And were you clear on what you wanted to do long term at this point?
I was sort of getting ideas of the kind of stuff I'd like to do. So that was an inroad into the world of work for me.
Okay.
So it was an office role. I was working on IT systems. So there I was sort of believing in, well, we're getting a clearer idea of where I wanted to go.
And where did you want to go then?
At that stage, it was more or less an office role. So admin assistant type roles, early intro roles, then with a view to move on to senior management and senior management.
So after that role, you moved through a number of different roles, didn't you? And how did you get those different roles?
Yeah, so after that role, I got a job with Iron Mountain. And Iron Mountain is a records management company. And initially, I got that through an agency to help out in the warehouse.
Right.
So I was just moving boxes to the shelves. So these were boxes that were tagged. And we scanned them to like more or less what you do at Tesco or any retail shop.
Yeah.
But these were boxes of records. So we'll put them on shelves and stuff. And I was really good. And one of the supervisors actually recommended me for a job at the FSA. And then the FSA, well, what we know today as the FSA, was a merger of the Bank of England and a few other regulatory bodies under one umbrella. And I was there with a colleague of mine on the 8th floor managing all the records. So we were processing all the paperwork, cataloguing them and sending up, arranging for them to be delivered to warehouses in and around England.
So I'm interested in that. A couple of things. Firstly, you know, when you got your first job with the South London Housing Association, you did it because you needed work experience.
Absolutely.
You took that as an internship, meaning that you weren't getting paid.
I wasn't getting paid. All I was getting was just transport. And that was it.
I just wanted to sort of pull that out as a demonstration that sometimes you have to do these things as a means to an end.
You need to make your luck happen.
Yeah. And how did you pay for things whilst you were doing this internship?
It was really difficult because I was in benefits then.
Yeah.
I was in benefits and I was living on really meagre income. Mm. But also I was still doing the voluntary work with the local church.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too hard for me, to be honest, because I knew how to go.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't going to be doing that for a long time.
So it's a short-term means to an end.
Absolutely.
The other thing is that, you know, you got, what I wanted to pull out was the fact that you got a number of jobs through an agency. And sometimes people, you know, especially young people, say to us that they don't want to go to an agency because they have not enough experience. But you're an example where actually, you know, that's not true.
Yeah.
If you go to an agency and you're hardworking and willing to commit, you can get a multitude of different roles, can't you?
Absolutely. And one thing I notice about agencies, if they see that you're really committed and eager, they want to work with you. And most times there's people that don't really care. So they phone you up and say, oh, can you come up for an interview tomorrow? Oh, sorry, no, next week. And they think, oh, well, sorry, you're not a priority. Yeah. And but I was always keen. And yes, give me a day notice, I'll be there. And I'll be there on time.
Yes.
Show up on time and
some of these really basic skills really do work wonders, don't they?
Absolutely.
You know, turning up on time, being keen. And you were saying earlier that, you know, you didn't work particularly hard at college, but it sounds like you changed that once you were in the world of work.
Absolutely. So I think, again, through mentorship, and also just being around these people. So just being around people and see the dynamics and the way they, and you think, oh, that's really interesting.
So the other thing I know about you, Clem, is that, you know, despite doing all of these roles and starting to get success in your career, that you are a very strong advocate of lifelong learning and self-motivated learning.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that.
So I've always been a lifelong learner. And so in the evening, I enrolled for an evening course in management. And I moved on from that and went on to do a programming course.
Okay. And how did that help?
Well, the programming course really helped because the minute I finished it, I started getting calls from agencies. I completed my CV, send it off, started getting calls from agency. And then I was working at the FSA with Iron Mountain. And from there, I did so well at the FSA, they moved me to the insolvency service, okay. Tottenham Court Road. And I was managing a provision there. And I got a call from an agency saying, well, we want to speak to you immediately. And I spoke to my boss at the time, said, well, I'm not going to keep you back if you want to go.
Yeah.
So I went and I got a job. I got a job with an American firm as a reporting analyst
right.
for the European operations.
And to what degree was that influenced by the fact that you had this visual basic qualification?
Oh, to a very large extent. Yeah. Without that skill, I would not have been in that post. Because it was a consultancy role.
And that's very interesting because when agencies are looking for candidates, very often they'll do a word search. So, for example, if they want someone with a particular skill, visual basic, they will search online and up will pop all the CVs
Absolutely.
With that particular qualification. Yeah. And that's the value, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Of doing vocational training.
Yes.
You then went on, though, to do some much higher level qualifications. Yeah. So, for example, you did a master's in management, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I was working with a company based in Tooting. And I decided, I was already in management, but I wanted to go into boardroom now, so as a director. And I felt it would be better for me to do a top-up on what I've done. So I enrolled for a master's in administration.
And what I've noticed is as you've progressed through your career and, you know, you've been driven by, driven to sort of upskill. So they've gone hand in hand where, you know, you've upskilled yourself and you've got a better position and then you've upskilled yourself and you've got a better position. And this is how you've worked your way up. But what I also know is the sorts of roles that you've taken have always had an aspect to them, which is giving back to the community. So if you could tell us a little bit after working at Iron Mountain, the work that you've done for some of these charities.
Yeah. So after Iron Mountain, I worked for Level 3 Communication and the IT market went down. And I was out of work for a while. So I was out of work for about 3 months. So I got a part-time job with an organization that was affiliated with a church in Spitalfields. And I started working with them for on a part-time basis for a salary that was nothing compared to what I was earning in the city. But I took it. It was an opportunity for me. And being honest, I mean, I took it because I wanted work.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about the giving back and all that, to be honest. It wasn't really there because I was giving enough in church anyway.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I took on that role. And very quickly, I really fell in love with it.
And what did that involve?
So that involved working with young Bangladeshi boys and girls, Somali kids. So mostly young people that were not in education, employment or training around the Bethnal Green area. And also indigenous young people. So this was a wide spectrum of young people. But the cross-cutting theme was the fact that they were completely disconnected with any institution or system or agency.
And after that, you moved into further roles where you were also helping young people.
Absolutely. So I worked in Tooting doing something similar again with young people that were neat. And then that led on to my role with the Preschool Learn Alliance.
Yeah.
A completely different role. But again, you know, working with nursery settings in and around England, especially delivery of apprenticeship, and well, more as a bid writer, helping to bring in funds and income for these organizations.
So isn't this interesting that this is a great example of life happening for you rather than to you, because you're enjoying yourself doing you know, the consultancy and the high level data management, etc. The market changes, you're out of work for 3 months, you have to take something because you've got to pay bills. You're not necessarily looking for a role which, you know, is about giving back, because you're doing a significant amount of that through your church anyway.
Absolutely.
And yet you fall into this role, which is helping young people. And that really has shaped your career since, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Tell us a bit more now then about the role of a pastor. But I know that, you know, you started up your own church, etc. But explain to us a bit more about the detail of what you do.
Yeah, so Healing Springs Fellowship is what we could define as a social justice church. So we are working with people at the fringes of society, and it's open to everyone. But to a very large extent, And it's not by design, but you find most of the people that come to church are most of the people that need help. So the work with these people involves helping them with even with their studies, counseling them, helping them with issues at home, helping them in making decision about which schools the children go to, everything. You sort of do life with them.
And how do you do it? I mean, do you have a physical space where people come? Tell us a bit more about all of that.
So we meet on Sundays. We meet on Sundays between 3 and 4:30, 90 minutes, and we meet on Fridays at home. So on Sundays, what I do, I speak on a topic or I run a series, depending on what I think the needs are. So for instance, I'm doing a series right now on the New Testament. So, you know, how did the New Testament come about and what does it mean for us today? Because mm-hmm. to a very large extent, it was written over 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean for us today? But also, how can we bring it in context? You know, there's so much happening around the world about faith and the fundamental Christians in America, that you have ISIS and all that. But how can we use faith as a force for good, you know, to bring humanity together and to bring progress? And that's what we're about. So it's about teaching, it's about encouraging, it's about coaching, it's about mentoring. But also, it's doing life with people. It's been there for their graduation. It's been there for their birthday. Mm. It's been there for Christmas.
And why do you do it? What is it for?
I think the reason why I do it is because I've always wanted to add value to humanity. And for me, it's always been, you know, three ways, either through business or politics or the faith. And the faith was one, or is one, I strongly feel is for the now, for me. That could change in the future, but for now, the faith is the inroad in which I can engage people and try to get them to aspire to greater works, as it were.
So you talk as well about some of your day-to-day activities with regard to holding meetings on Sundays and Fridays, and also, you know, you make yourself available to your members as well, don't
Absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
But on top of that, I know that you've done some travel. Tell us a bit about, you know, some of the trips that you've done.
Yeah, during my holidays, last year, during my school holidays, I went with another organization to Liberia. So we were in a village in Liberia, and this was just after the Ebola crisis. So working with over 700 leaders, and I delivered a course on 7 habits of highly successful people by Stephen Covey, and it was highly successful. But not only that, from the back of that also, try to encourage them to be champions of their own destinies. Mm. So what's in it for me? And to think about the future of their community. And rather than just extend their hands all the time to the West for help and for aid. Mm. And I really enjoy that.
And you were talking about the fact that, you know, this role of a pastor enables you to add back to humanity. Mm. Through doing, you know, these activities, which I know takes up a lot of your time, time where, you know, many of us would actually be spending that time earning money and sort of, you know, actually probably quite selfishly covering our own sort of expenses and looking after ourselves. And yet you do this really for no payment as such. So what does it give for you personally?
I think for me, it's an investment in humanity. And I'm of this belief that any investment will pay dividends.
So as a pastor, what sort of outlets are there for you to make a bigger impact or touch more lives? What sorts of things can you do?
Oh, loads. I've always seen Martin Luther King as an example. So he was your ideal pastor. What a lot of people know him today for his work around civil rights. And civil rights in a very broad spectrum. Civil rights affects every faith, not just the Christian faith. His background was obviously Christian, but the work he's done has affected everyone. Mm. Gandhi's another very good example where, you know, he stood up for the rights of people, and maybe Mandela. So I think, and this is one of the reasons why Healing Springs Fellowship is non-denominational, because it gives me that freedom to just meet the needs of humanity. So there is the political aspect, there is the business aspect, there is the spiritual aspect. Everything comes together in addressing humanity in every facet. So at the moment, I've just completed a degree in theology, media, and comms. And from the back of that, I've gain admission to go into do a master's. So post my master's, I'm looking, and I've started some of the work now, I'm looking to go back into industry. So this is at the board level. So maybe part-time CEO for an organization, or flexi time CEO for an organization. Ideally, a charity or private organization with a social motive. At the same time, do some work in collaborating organizations here with organizations in Africa and developing world, depending on where the doors open. It could be in South America. And also do some visiting lecturing. I still love speaking. I think public speaking is something I'll be doing a lot.
Yeah, and future. You can touch a lot of people doing
Absolutely.
That. Yeah, fantastic. So for those who are sitting listening to this, Clem, and are now inspired to want to follow in your footsteps, what would be some of the advice that you would give to them to do that?
Stick to your day job.
Okay.
I think definitely the best way really is to start small. I believe in starting small and thinking big. Mm-hmm. So start small. So if you're a young person, get involved in the local church. So get involved in the local church. Most local churches are looking for apprentices. I say this in the loose sense. I mean, someone that will come in and help out with the cameras, with equipment, help out with marketing, social media, the website, edit the newsletter. Start with that, and the doors will open. Things will start happening. The opportunities will come your way.
And in all seriousness, would you advocate that whilst they're doing that they continue with their career, etc.?
Absolutely. That was exactly what I did. And, yeah. You know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't mind just being a bivocational, what's known as a bivocational minister. In other words, you've got a full-time job and you're just helping a pastor. I love that. But it got to a point where I felt what I had to do would either clash with the vision of the local pastor or sort of disrupt what is already happening. So it's best I go and set up my own framework, as it were. And sometimes you get to that point. Other times it might just be working with a local pastor, you know, and still doing some really great stuff there.
So, Clem, if people want to find out more about your organisation or even just to ask you questions about the role of a pastor, you know, where would they find you?
The best point will be my website, which is www.healingsprings.org.uk.
Okay.
We meet on Sundays in Sidcup. That's in Kent. We meet at St. John's Hall in Sidcup. But all that information on the website, 3:30 to 4:30, I'm there.
Well, Clem, thank you so much for coming in today. I know how busy
Pleasure.
You are. And I've known you for some time because we've worked together before. And I think, you know, the impact that you have is fantastic. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.